And welcome to another edition of It's All About the Youth Sports Talk Show. I am your host, Aaron Sutton, and today's show is going to be one that I promise you will never forget. But we've covered a lot of great topics over the last few weeks, and I just want to make sure that you understand the value of having your kids involved in athletics, the value of making sure that you're a parent that's live and in full effect and in attendance of those sporting events. We've covered subjects like AAU. Tell me about it. Did your kid actually have a great experience? Was your kid one of the ones who funded the opportunity for the great kids on the team? We've covered all types of subjects like, why are you yelling? Why are you yelling at the game? What are you yelling about? We also talked about the legislation that was going to pass. Man, they're talking about even fining you for screaming at the referee. We're talking about fining you for screaming at the coach if the coach screams at the referee. It's an opportunity for you to go to spend a night in jail. Is it that real for you to win a football game? Tell me about it. Also, we get into the great, great, great topic because you watch it all the time in sporting events. Coach tells the team, hey, we're going to win. We're going to do our best. We're going to be awesome. We're going to do all these things. Let us pray after he gives this great motivational speech. So where does God really fall into the actual concept of winning in football? Does God really care about football? What priority, how do you prioritize faith, family, and football? Or do you have it the other way around? Is it football, family, and then faith? We have some great guests today that will be covering this, and I want you to know that this is an awesome show because you'll get to ask the questions that you have. You've positioned them on our social media site. You're able to go on demand and catch the shows that you've missed. If you missed a few episodes, that's right, we have on demand, LYSN TV. Anytime you want to catch an episode that you've missed, please feel free to go back and check us out. But today, I promise you, you will not be disappointed because my guests, we're going to get into it. We got some preachers on here. We got some sports enthusiasts on here. We have coaches on here. We even have the author of a book that I personally care about myself, man, because he's talking about me in that book. It says, does God really care about football? The title of the book is, does God really care about football? Hey, man, I tell you, I've been a part of a lot of great things in life. And I think, you know, looking back, we've always prayed prior to doing it when it came to playing the game. Or we've always thanked God post-game after we won. Do you thank God when you lose? Does he really care about how you out there playing? Or do you only thank him because you won the game? Does your mom only thank him because you made it home safe this time? But what if you broke your leg and it was your senior year? What if you broke your leg and you were in the opportunity to go to the next great high school and you were being recruited? Hey, man, I tell you what, this show is going to cover those things. I want to hear from you. I want to hear the topic being discussed by our great panelists. And I tell you what, stay tuned because it's all about the youth. You guys are coming. And welcome back to It's All About the Youth Sports Talk Show. I am your host, Aaron Sutton. And man, I'm not tired yet. It's time for some football, baby. We're getting close. We're 2 months out from Louisiana Youth Football kicking off. So stay tuned. We're going to have a lot of great guests coming on the upcoming season, the coaches, all of those great things are going to be happening really, really soon. So we're asking you guys to stay tuned and keep it locked because your team will be represented live on It's All About the Youth. But today we have a topic, man, that's near and dear to my heart. And I promise you that we won't be disappointed from my guests. And I'll start off because, hey, man, what better way to start it off without having the one and only? Could you please introduce yourself and tell him who you are? He's my dad. I just say that. You can tell him who you are.
Ronald Sutton is my name. Mm-hmm. Pastor of the Ebenezer Baptist Church of South Baton Rouge.
That's my guy. That's my guy. In addition to that, man, I'm so lucky today, man. I got my brothers here, man. This is awesome, man. Some great guys. I'll let him introduce himself.
My name is Nakia Mitchell. I'm not a pastor, but you and I go a long way back.
Yes, sir. Yes,
long
sir.
Way back.
Yes, sir. A lot of great memories, mm-hmm. man. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal memories, man.
Lots of memories. Cold nights, yeah.
A lot of cold nights, man. We're going to talk about some of the cold nights, too, man.
Ooh,
I asked God, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. We'll get into that in a minute. Then I have my brother, man. Who is this guy right here, man?
My name's Eric Williams. I'm the pastor of Beacon Light of Baton Rouge right here in our beautiful city of Baton Rouge. And I serve as the senior pastor.
Pastor E, another one of my great friends, man. We go way back, And I tell you, man, just getting into the show, does God really care about football, man? You were able to pen a book, Coach Mitchell. We're going to keep it real, man. I know y'all, Nick Mitchell, Nikhil Mitchell.
Right.
You know, we talk like that, but, you know, these are my guys, and I just want to, you know, put it out there. He goes by, he's Coach Mitchell. It is what it is. You know, Pastor E.
Yeah.
Pastor Sutton, it is what it is. Y'all go by what you go by, you know. But you are human. You are human in full effect, and you have regular names. So how does that, I want to ask a question, man, to the pastors. So if somebody come up and say, yo, E, how does that make you feel?
You know, the way I feel is, first of all, the Bible said he'll make your name great, not your title.
Right.
So when somebody say, hey, E, or Eric, well, he's making my name great.
Right.
And so I feel good because they know my name.
Okay.
And so if somebody knows my name, then it's making my name great. He never said he'll make my title great, just
good
my name.
Dear. How about you?
My name is Ron.
Right.
Or Ron, however people choose to call me.
Right.
You know, the title is... It's something of esteem and honor. But if they choose to call me Ron or Ronald, it's fine with me.
I always wanted to, I just like to ask that question, man. Because, I mean, I've heard guys, you know, correct people. I mean, you know, if they don't even know you, you know, I'm just putting it out there, not really, you know, focusing on one situation, but I've heard.
But I think sometimes, too, it has a lot to do with where a person meets you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people who grew up with me, that's all they know.
Going back to where a person met you at.
Yeah,
this is a beautiful question. Let's go back to the preachers say, the old landmark.
You know?
Going back to your days, man, of playing sports. Did you play sports?
I played sports. I started playing sports when I was in this, really, 8, 9 years old.
Okay.
You know, we played baseball. Then we started playing football when I was 12, on through high school, you know. It was a great experience. It was a turning point for me.
Okay.
You know, we had a coach that emphasized education, and we wanted to play football, so if you couldn't produce good grades, you couldn't play football.
Okay.
So, you know, football.
No grades, no gridiron.
That's
no
right.
Grades,
and,
no gridiron.
And then back then, you know, for D's and F's, it cost you.
When you say it cost you, I mean, we have corporal punishment. That's what they call it in today's time. But then it was called the rod of correction.
Yeah, the rod of correction.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah,
the rod of correction was implemented to encourage you to make sure that you didn't fall below the standard.
Right. You know, D's was one lick, F's was two.
D's and F. Coach Sam, I hope you're watching this show. Yeah. Carlos Sams is his name. I'm going to call his own name. Yeah. He's a superintendent these days.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
but times have changed.
Yeah,
times have changed.
Yeah. So, and I go back and I look at experiences. Once again, he shared an experience that he had. Tell me about your upbringing.
Playing sports. I think sports has a lot to do with who I am today. The wins and losses. You learn about life. You learn about life playing sports. I was one who. You know, I probably was, I had good sportsmanship, but I didn't like to lose.
Right. Okay.
Know, and when I met Aaron, I think me and Aaron played some basketball together, and they beat us.
Uh-oh.
But man, look, I wanted to play some more, because I don't like losing, man. And so it taught me about, you know, being, you know, persevering. It taught me dealing with adversity. That's what sports taught me, how to deal with adversity in life. Not knowing that was the foundation for my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate growing up playing organized football and basketball because it made me who I am today.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to hear both of you guys talk about your upbringing and playing adolescent to high school. So I'm assuming that you guys basically stopped after high school, at high school level.
Right.
Coach Mitchell. Your experience is a little different.
Yeah, a little different. I played baseball most of my life, starting about probably around the age of 5.
Mm-hmm.
And my baseball career took me into junior high, took me into high school, and then I actually got a chance to play baseball in college at Southern University. I played there for 4 years, and it was a great experience. I got a chance to play for, in my opinion, the best college baseball coach in the history of college baseball, and that's Roger Kadar. But the lessons that he was able to teach me as a young man coming into my own are the reason why I am who I am today. And you cannot put a price tag on a coach who affects your life.
Right. So life impacts came from the guy. I heard you made a statement to, and you referred to, there was a coach that instill some things. You'll never forget any of your coaches. You remember all your coaches?
Our coaches were awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I can say that in junior high when we first started off, Coach Gary Hendrick, mm-hmm. He taught us the saying that it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He taught us that size, it wasn't about size.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was about determination. Then when we moved on to the high school level, we met an idol, a mentor in the community, Coach Reginald Allen Cotton Sr., along with our head coach, Coach Jack Pope. These were great men, and they taught us leadership, and they used to teach us that football players, we were the leaders of the school, mm-hmm. So it was our job to keep order and peace at the school,
right.
Because we were the leaders. And from that on through life, I've always been a leader, always been one to take charge.
So your foundation of leadership, you would honestly say it stemmed from watching the leaders that were placed in your life from your adolescent experiences on the football field.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So you were tied into your ministry, the whole nine.
That's right.
Okay.
These men were men of moral value. They carried a high representation within the community, across racial lines at that time.
Okay.
People looked up to them. They respected them, and our parents respected them.
So you came up in the time that. Now, if you ever seen the movie Remember the Titans, I'm sure it was more reflective of your upbringing time.
A lot of things were coming in that movie.
Right.
So, I could definitely identify with it.
Segregation, that. I mean,
yes.
Those were relevant issues that were going on during your time of playing ball.
Schools integrated in 1969, and things hadn't always changed by the time we reached high school, 74, 75, 76. During that time, so we were still transitioning during that time,
mm-hmm.
And there was a big transition for me, I was a running back, then I was elevated to quarterback because our quarterback left and went to the private school.
Okay.
So I became the quarterback, but God's destiny and God's timing elevated me to be the first African-American quarterback to start in the history of Amede High School. Mm-hmm. Not only was that a burden, but then Coach Cotton put his hand in my chest and said, hey, you can do this, make us proud. And the rest is history.
Right. So, which, man, I tell you, you look at the amount of responsibility, the stress level that comes with when somebody puts the burden on your back to carry the foundation, the culture foundation building for the color line. When you're crossing the color lines, the culture, building the culture, it's a challenge.
Okay.
Then you come back and you look at, you grew up in the inner city of New Orleans,
right.
So the dynamics are different,
right?
I mean, you shared just a small, brief experience that you had with just...
Growing up in the hood, man. growing up in the hood, it was a little bit different because when we played, I was just telling Coach that we had a white coach,
mm-hmm.
but the impact that he made, he didn't see color.
Right.
And I was just telling Coach 3 years ago, man, we found him. We found this coach, and a lot of our players visited him in Houston. He didn't know. So about 10 of our players went there to visit him, and man, he cried and cried and cried because the impact that a coach has on your life, man, it lasts forever.
Right.
It lasts forever. So growing up in the inner city, it was a great impact, man. And I love it. I wouldn't change it for nothing in the world.
And then, coming to you, you had to pin it. So tell me about your experience.
As a coach, my experiences, at least growing up, my experiences as a player took me to different arenas and different areas of my life to where it was necessary, believe it or not. I'm from the river parishes, and down there, you have a lot of industry. A lot of guys didn't make it out. By the time I was in high school, getting ready to leave, I had already lost four or five of my friends. And so sports took me out of that bad environment and into an environment where I can, ultimately become a coach. But becoming a coach for me, it really impacted my life because of the coaches that I had. Those were the guys that really molded me, shaped me into who I am today, because it was their leadership. My dad was my coach. I had coaches that crossed racial barriers. And for me to be able to have the opportunity to do it and then to put it on paper as a coach, that really was just a gift from God. Like, just to be able to, you know, have the experiences that I had as a coach and some of the journeys that we took together, man, that was something else.
We showed the cover of the book, Does God Really Care About Football? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, just reading the book, I got chills, man. Just wow. Because I was able to recall just the memories of the experiences that we had along a journey where you had so much opposition. Oof. That to the outer, you know, I guess to the fans and to the quote unquote supporters, nobody, they didn't see that. Mm-hmm. They didn't see it. They didn't know what was going on internally. And we were able to you know, still persevere and overcome. Right. You know, and live, being a Marine, we say the saying, adapt and overcome. Right. But to truly experience that was awesome. And just going into a lot of great, great, great things in that book, right, which we're gonna cover. And we're gonna get into some subjects that I personally just have to ask, man. And you guys are people I consider to be experts in it. And I wanna make sure that we cover these things because our audience would like to know. We have a lot of parents. We have a lot of players that want to know. So as we get back, we come back, we're going to cover some things. Does God really care about football?
Good. Absolutely.
Good.
Stay tuned right here on It's All About the Youth. And we're back live on It's All About the Youth. I am your host, Aaron Sutton, and I'm not tired yet. Does God really care about football? We have a great panel of guests. We have Ron Sutton, Nick Mitchell, Eric Williams here. And they're my panel of guests talking about, does God really care about football? Nick Mitchell was able to pen a book that covered a lot of great experiences over a long period of time, short period of time.
Absolutely.
A lot of great experiences that was in this book. And I just go back and I think about one great experience in that. That you kind of made reference to it. We were in the playoffs, and I'll let you kind of share it, and then we'll go into it. Because I mean, you question, you know, you walk out on the field and you question a few things.
Absolutely.
But I'll let you share it.
I know you're talking about St. Frederick.
Yeah,
St. Frederick. We were in the fourth round of the playoffs. We had an opportunity to go to the Superdome. That was the first of many times I think that we had a chance to go. We were leaving Baton Rouge. It was about 65 degrees, nice. We got on the bus.
We had on shorts.
Yeah, we had shorts on. We were dressed nice, you know, we were ready to roll. And we were on our way to Monroe. And by the time we got to Monroe and we popped those bus doors open, it was 30 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Right before the game, it was right around about 16 degrees on the field. And so our guys weren't really mentally prepared because the environment that we left was not the environment that we landed in.
Hmm.
And so, you know, long story short, I got one of my great assistant coaches, Aaron Sutton. He's up there letting the defense know what's going on, giving us, you know, some pointers. And he's up there in some sort of like duck dynasty type of where you shoot the ducks at. You
know? Deer stand.
Deer stand.
Yeah.
And so he's up there in the deer stand. He's freezing. And he, you know, he can't feel his hands, and he can't call the defense. He's not getting all the signals down. And we ended up losing that game. But after that game, it was really one of the times when I really started asking that question, because we went into that game and at least a 21-point favorite, at least 21 points.
Right.
But there were times in the game where I knew that God had his hands in that game because of what happened in the game, but also what happened after that game and in the season after that, because you know, when you're taking that path as a football coach, as a football team, you want to win every game. Like,
right.
Just like I said, I hate losing more than I love winning,
right,
to be honest with you. But God orders our steps. That's just the bottom line. And he ordered our steps for a loss that night. And the team that beat us, we had a chance to play them the very next year at home, at our place. And we ended up beating them 65 to nothing, so I'll never forget that.
Yeah, never, ever, ever, ever.
Never.
So just thinking back about that experience, and you know, once again, it was total heartbreak, you know, and you look back at the situation, you're like, well, God, here I am, And once again, going back into David Goliath situation, right. Here I am. I look like Goliath in comparison to that little David, but they were prepared. They had heaters on the sideline, and we were like, man, it's not cold, you know, initially.
Yeah.
But then they came out, and they would use that to their advantage. Thank you for sharing it out of the book. That was a great experience, man. But going back to you guys, Sunday morning service, man, Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, wow.
How do you, let's just go to the real Super Bowl Sunday. You've seen the NFL develop. The NFL has their own day, not just one day, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday are football days, according to the National Football League. And Saturday is for college football, Friday night is for high school. As a pastor, how do you balance coordinating Bible study, usher board, deacon board? You got meetings of business that has to happen in church. How do you balance that with those commitments?
Well, the book is titled, Does God Like Football?
Care
about football.
Right.
And I guess we can reverse that and say, does football care about God? Because, you know, it has expanded. There are no free days anymore. Because now you have Monday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Okay, then you have volleyball, you got track, you got baseball, you got AAU, you got this Wednesdays and Tuesdays. So every day is being consumed. So that takes away time from God. And God is a jealous God. Yeah, he's equipped us with talents and abilities, but nothing
comes before him.
He says to us, he say, first seek ye.
Okay. So,
and I'm going to add all this other stuff.
So Lil Johnny, Lil Ray Ray, Shay Shay, activities. Activities, staying involved. Moms at work, parents now working 2 and 3 jobs to make ends meet.
Right.
So parent working 2 and 3 jobs, the only opportunity for their kid to be active and be around positive influences a lot of times is that football coach or that basketball coach or that cheerleading coach or that volleyball coach is willing to take out time to come get that kid. How do you balance that? What do you say to that situation versus saying, well, hey, you know, is it just we got church on Wednesday, we got church on Sunday?
Right. Well, I think that's a good question, very good question, because as a pastor, I have sons who play sports. So I have to, first of all, balance it out, that I'm a dad first. But I have to explain to my children about putting God first. And so there are some things in my home. On Wednesday night, we go to Bible study. Sunday morning, we go to church. Now, anything after sports, after that, now, as a pastor myself, I make sure that I, you know, football season, Super Bowl you mentioned, I sometimes, God has allowed me to take sermons and make it fit. I preach sermons like keep your head in the game.
Do you make concessions? The Bayou Classic, Rip. The Bayou Classic. If they move the Bayou, if they told Southern University they're going to give them X amount of dollars to move the Bayou Classic to Sunday, would you still have church?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to still have church. Yes.
You have church?
Yeah, because you got to realize, not everybody.
You know what this is why I say that now. This is why I ask that question now. I mean, you guys are avid, y'all diehard fan. I know you are.
I'm a diehard.
So this is the thing, and I know on Sunday you go back, you lead the Bayou Classic on Saturday night and drive back for service. But this is the reason why I'm asking that. Super Bowl on Sunday, if the Super Bowl was in New Orleans, Saints won the Super Bowl, would you have church Sunday morning?
Yes.
If hold on,
I don't say that.
What's your question?
He ain't a Saints fan.
The question was, if the Super Bowl was Sunday morning, man, me and God might have to go into prayer now. Me and God might have to go into prayer. I'm like, now, Lord, I've been here 51 Sundays.
Right.
You can't get mad if I miss one.
Well, you do know that a lot of concessions are made. You schedule a shift, you know. A lot of churches, you know, we have church at 8:15 in the morning, so that's not an issue. The Super Bowl is not going to be at 8:15 in the morning.
I'm talking about the festivity.
But let me say,
I'm not worried about the
Saints.
But let me say, I had a pastor when the Saints went to the Super Bowl. He had church Sunday night, Okay. And he told me, he said, I'm not going to be in competition with football. Mm-hmm. Well, God gives us wisdom.
That's yes.
God that's gives right. us wisdom.
That's okay. the principle.
And so if the Super Bowl is Sunday night, man, look, we're going to have church Sunday morning. Right. We're going to come and shout and give God praise.
It now, might be a little short version.
Yeah. You know, it don't take the Holy Spirit all night. I want it to move, right. you know.
Not so, on so, that Sunday.
Not on that Sunday. And so we're going to come in. We're going to clap. And get ready.
Get know, ready
for the Super Bowl, man.
Come in your gear.
Because I
put your gear on.
Oh yeah, think about it.
It's a who that son.
It's a who that son. Wear your jersey and all of that stuff.
We so getting to that. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's wrong for churches to adopt? And I'm gonna ask you this: to adopt themes like you know Jersey Sunday, you know things like that to incorporate those things that's considered of the world. I mean, honestly, right. these are sports. These not sports that mm-hmm. necessarily. God just ordained as the opportunity for him to reach people, yeah. is it?
No.
Okay, but what I'm getting at is, so the fact that you have Sunday themes, like you have anything else, deacon hat or two,
right, yeah.
or whatever, right. you think it's wrong that you have that?
No.
I know why you're looking like that. So, can I say it? Yeah. I'm going to say it anyway. It's my show. So, me and my dad have discussions, you know, about stuff like, hey, man, you know, what's going on with, right. hey man, you got to get with the times. It is right, what it is. Right, right, yeah. He adapts. He's an older generation.
Right.
So he's like, oh, that's a good idea. Let's
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
And we tried. It may work. It may not. But he's conforming to some things. We say we're not going to turn it into, it's not a club.
Right.
It's not
yeah.
a club. Right?
You got to still respect
so
the house.
Going back to what I was saying, back to the question. Do you think that's wrong or right?
No.
Right or wrong?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I think everything is a teaching moment.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
the same enthusiasm, the same commitment, the same excitement that you have for the Saints and for your favorite team and your dedication to never missing practice and never missing a game, we want that same enthusiasm about church. Being where you're supposed to be, on time, mm-hmm. on time.
On time.
Yeah, because when they come late to the Jaguar practice, it costs them. Mm-hmm. But when you come late to church, it don't cost you.
Mm-hmm. I got
right?
you. I got
so we want the same commitment level at the church that we got on the football field.
I got you. So tell me something about how do you feel about that, like overall? Because, I mean, you got FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Right.
You have a lot of programs that have been incorporated into athletics. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's equivalent to going to church?
I believe, because I was in FCA. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, when I was in high school, I was a part of the FCA. And I believe that as long as God is prevalent and present in all of the actions that you take, I believe that it's important for our kids to have, especially our youth, to have a foundation.
Yeah.
And that foundation
once again,
is not necessarily.
Do you think that I'm gonna ask you again.
All right.
Do you think that FCA is equivalent to going to church? Yes or no?
Yes.
No.
No. Why do you say no?
Because that's I look at it different, motivational speaking or just a little point of meditation is fine, but I think there's the whole worship experience.
FCA stands for Fellowship of Christian.
I understand what you're saying,
yeah.
but the Fellowship of Christian, nothing replaces the worship time at church. See, we have to have that point in time. Okay, that's like saying, all right, well, I'm gonna study my plays at Bible study. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday,
mm-hmm. It's no different than doing homework at Bible study. What's the difference?
Wait a minute, I'm not gonna come to practice on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
cause but I'm gonna make sure I study my plays, coach. On Wednesday, can I play Friday?
But if I can interject,
let me hear your point of view.
And I think both have a good point. So I think it's always not the method, but the message.
Right.
So if I'm at church. And I'm getting a message there. But if I'm at FCA and there's some type of preaching or teaching the word of God, mm-hmm. I'm still receiving something.
It's
I think
a message.
That's the,
okay.
I think so it's the message and not so much just the method okay. of where we are, because we say this, God is everywhere.
Right. Exactly.
And let me just say this. It's not about replacing one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's that before FCA was there, church was there.
I'm not talking yeah. about previous, I'm talking about current.
Right.
Situation. Fellowship of Christian Athletes, mm-hmm. is it right now, today, equivalent to me going to church? Because this is why I make the point. because of how the culture of football is, because of how the culture of society is, what is the amount of time that people are actually spending younger? For the family makeup is a lot younger.
Right.
So when you're in that culture, what is the amount of time that's being spent? Mm-hmm. They're saying where parents are saying, "Hey, you're going to Sunday school, you're going to church."
Yeah. Right. It's
outside of that,
I will say this to interject about FCA. Mm-hmm. I was in FCA when I was in high school, and I will tell you the worship experience in FCA is like no other. I'm going to tell you that right now. That's one thing. The second thing is, if FCA is the only place that a kid can give his life to Christ,
then
bring him to FCA.
Well, but that wasn't the question. The thing is, but what if the church? What happens to the church? Anything can come along and replace the church. What I'm saying is, I understand all that, and I'm for it. You know, anytime you can get the word to a kid in any situation is a great time.
Right.
But that does not take away the obligation and commitment to the church, the body, together. Mm-hmm. You are a member. That's what I was saying.
You're a member of a football team. Let me share this with you.
Why can't I miss practice on Wednesday? Because the established Bible study in my church is Wednesday.
But let me tell you,
why can't I miss Bible study? I'm not missing Bible study because if I had FCA on Wednesday or Thursday, whatever it is, I'm still going to a form of Bible study.
Right.
We're studying the Bible.
Coach, let me give you a very practical way to look at it. I may not get to Ochsner Hospital, but I can get to Lake After Hours.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But I may not get per se all the treatment like I get at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But this could tie me over until I get there.
I can give you an even better scenario.
So in the very, but you said
you stream your messages on Sunday. Both of you guys stream your messages. I just want to make a point. You stream your messages on Sunday. I can't get to the house of God on Sunday.
Right.
But I can stream the message, and I can still be a part of the worship.
You're asking the wrong person now, because I don't like streaming church.
Let me tell you why. Because now they're staying home.
Yeah.
We're living in the day and time. What if I'm staying home because I've seen these multiple shootings in church? And I'm scared to experience it. I got PTSD.
Right.
Well, I don't agree with that. Because
what if I'm scared
at the club and they still going?
You're right. Some people don't go to. Hey,
that's it. Still going.
Back to, does God really care about football?
Yeah.
What we're talking about here, man. We got to make sure we stay on topic.
Right.
And I want to make sure we cover it because we can go all over the place.
But I can tell you about that, man. We're talking about football and sports. I mean, I can't say okay. I could show you in the Word of God that God talks about football. But I can show you in the Word of God where there are things in the Old Testament where you talk about battles.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain battles that took place.
Right.
And it's the same as football, per se.
Correct.
So I can't say directly God talks about football in the Bible. But I can show you some things that football teaches you that's in the Word of God. Because everything, there's nothing new under the heavens. Everything that we deal with in life, I guarantee you, it's in the Word.
Absolutely.
Even with playing sports, it's in the Word.
Oh, yes.
The principles are in the Word. I think that's the thing that we got to get so many of the young kids who play sports. Boy, if you could see some of these things that's in the Word, they'll cause you to persevere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the dynamic. You made a great point. I think we all touched on some great key points here. One of the things I would like to see is, because you have to meet them where they are a lot of times, and a lot of great things have come out of meeting them where they are, and then they've gotten excited about the fact that I went to FCA, or I went to this particular service, and I had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So now, here I am, I want to come back again.
Right.
But what we can't get so caught up in, to me, is this day, that time, this time, all the time, just because sometimes they're not there yet.
Right.
When you're seasoned, it's a difference.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. But a lot of these are super infants.
Right.
So the challenges come up. To me, I look at football players as a true ministry for me. It's a true opportunity to touch lives.
I totally agree.
And to redirect people, and they see the church in me first.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
You know, they have to see it in me first in order to be, motivated to say, you know what, whatever coach is doing, right. I want to be a part of that.
That's
where are you going on Sunday? I want to be like him, just like you guys, just like you guys were saying about your coaches.
Right.
So does God really care about football in my eyes? He definitely
Absolutely.
Does.
Yes,
you know, and can football be that catalyst to get people closer to Christ?
Yes, sir.
It definitely can.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
But at the same time, do I have to necessarily just assemble in the house of God only to get the worship experience that I can get as well as in
FCA? Can I quote one scripture to you?
Yes.
One scripture that says, "He that winneth souls is wise."
Right.
And so that's where.
So you wise men, because y'all preachers, and I love it. But on It's All About the You.
Yeah.
You guys have given us some key nuggets, man, and I'm grateful. And we're gonna be right back, because I'd like to just really, man, thank you guys for coming on tonight.
Well, thank you for having us.
I know we could keep going on and on.
Thank you for having
us. That's the beautiful part about a subject like this, because our listeners are gonna have an opportunity to, you know, to chime in and say, hey, what do you think about this? I thought this, those type of great things. But what I'll tell you guys is, you guys were truly inspirational to me, and you guys are super motivating to me, man. Y'all, I love you all. I just wanna tell y'all that.
Thank
you guys for being on here, man. Appreciate you. And it's all about the youth. We'll be back shortly, baby.
Time flew by.
Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Welcome back to It's All About the Youth.
So do it.
I am your host, Aaron Sutton. I don't need you to stop my shine. He want to think out loud already.
I'm just thinking out loud.
This segment we do, we like to do, is called Thinking Out Loud.
Because we just have
he always interrupts me, though.
We working on the show. I'm telling you, two guys on the sports topic. That's going to be our next show. 2020, two guys on the sports topic. It's going to be our next show.
It's coming soon.
30-minute show that we're going to be talking about just our topic.
We blab off about a lot of matter of fact, every night we get together and talk about something.
The show is based off of conversations we have
period.
In situations that happen in youth sports, the stuff we're dealing with.
So,
but this is a great topic.
This is a phenomenal topic.
I want to tell you we wearing burgundy because the Greater Mount Carmel Baptist Church of Scotlandville.
Plug!
A shameless plug for the Greater Mount Carmel Baptist Church of Scotlandville. But I had that same
Ebenezer's burgundy too. I just want to let you know that we were burgundy. South Baton Rouge.
Again, we do advertise for churches. Bible study groups, but no, this
cell groups meet, get together, we do it all of y'all.
This topic here really came again. I thank Nick Mitchell for giving me the book years ago.
It's available on Amazon.
Definitely
available on Amazon.
Yep, it's a
check it out.
Bestseller. I mean,
it is.
The topic on the book caused me to create this topic for this show here, and because I wrestle with it all the time. My biggest thing about it is that. Do I stay in that four walls, talk to 200 people, or do I leave out of the four walls? I talked to my brotherhood group about this. I'm a trustee, so on Sundays when we have youth football, I miss church sometimes. But do I stay in those four walls and talk to 200 people and be the light, let my light shine about God in those four walls, or do I go out into the world and let my light shine like the Bible says? Now, I'm not gonna quote the Bible because I'm not an expert in the Bible, but you do know Satan was the expert on the Bible, so I be careful with people who quote the Bible. So,
you got some demons.
But
it's about how you live, though.
Yeah,
everything is based on how you live.
My biggest question is, and I've always questioned this, and I'm glad you got into the topic today. Was do I go out and let my light shine and make disciples outside of those four walls, or do I stay in the four walls and let the mountain come to my helmet?
Well, I think it's always a balance. Because one thing I talked about, and I think is key, is your light is within you, and people see how you live.
Exactly.
So if they see how you live, they should be drawn to you like a magnet to want to be a part of what you're being a part of. We wouldn't be friends if I thought you lived in a way that that wasn't pleasing to me or God. You get what I'm saying?
Your daddy wouldn't let us be friends.
Yeah, so I mean, if I live reckless, you wouldn't want to be friends with me. Yeah,
I got grandbaby.
Right. So we got to be here. So I always look at things like that, man. Am I a guy who surrounds myself with people with good character?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, I guess, pick your friends in a sense, but you could. I mean, you can't pick your acquaintances, but you can pick your friends.
But
you know.
But it's important for us. I mean, because we work in the communities that there's not too many lights shining.
Yeah.
So our responsibility is to bring that, if we know better, and, mm-hmm. and you know, I mentioned this on the first show, if they see better, they'll be better.
Right.
You have to see it. So if we get people to see what it is, I'm not going to stand in Greater Mount Carmel and preach, and then there's a guy walking outside on Swan Street that needs salvation or needs to know about salvation.
Right.
Needs, so it's our job to go out.
Well,
in the world.
So,
I kind of different. I'm with Eric on that, and I guess that the age groups kind of do it, because your dad was talking as if, no, we need them to come to the church house.
Because that was the solid, that was the way they were reared.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, nothing took the place of the worship experience on whether it was Sunday or Wednesday. They had strict, I mean, but times have changed. Once again, I'll say work schedules have changed. A lot of why we do Sunday.
So question, and you're a great example.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to church because it was a ritual, because you had to go there every day, or did you go to church because you had a relationship? Because
in the beginning, I went because it was a routine.
It was a routine?
It was a routine and a ritual, but as I matured and became an adult, I realized that I had to have a relationship for myself. So
yeah.
You go through those experiences, and I'm a PK, I'm a preacher's kid, so you go through those experiences where you see things happen, and you see people's experiences in church from a different point of view, because you're in the trenches with your parent a lot of times. So you see, you may have a different view on it.
Yeah.
You know, a different opinion about it. But you also see where God's manifestation of miracles actually truly happen from both sides.
So my question is, so are some of these mamas and daddies, and this is going to lead us into next week's episode, are some of these mamas and daddies praying to God for that bag?
They're praying for the bag.
So our next episode, we have a clip about it. Our next episode is actually, what if my baby make it?
What if my baby
So if we go to the clip for it, we got a video of a meeting group. We got a meeting group.
I see all the new faces here. Who wants to go first?
I bet the farm on my son playing in the NBA. Literally, I took out a second mortgage on the family farm to pay for basketball camps.
Our Daniel could have played in the NHL.
What is Daniel doing now? David doesn't like to speak about it.
My son is an astronaut.
Bailey tells me that she doesn't want to play soccer anymore after all the years I put in.
How old is Bailey now?
Going on 7. Why?
So this is our football kickoff show. So you saw that there's parents that are mortgaging the house.
Camp after camp after camp.
Now, because the thing about it is, I was an uncle. I was one of them dads and then one of the uncles.
You was a dad and an uncle.
Yeah, I was spending $6,000 a summer going traveling to camps and stuff.
But it yielded results for you. Where did you go to school?
That's
at
the
now?
Only difference, because he's getting a. Because I was thinking about it. If I put that $6,000 into an investment, mm-hmm. that's for the 4 years, it's $24,000. That was a $24,000 education. Mm-hmm. But I invested that $24,000, he's getting a $77,000 a year education. So it was a great investment, but it doesn't always work out that time.
Not
so our guests next week are gonna talk about what if you do make it and what if you don't. So the one thing that we had, and since this is our football show, man, and I'm telling you, it's great that this is kicking off our football show with a real special
event. The guests that we're gonna have next week, man, I can't wait. Like I say, when they come, man, it's gonna be interesting, because you have parents, you're gonna have parents that have been in a situation where their child has been projected since they were 10, 11, 13, got offered at 13.
And we have agents that are gonna be telling you, you know, what's the chances you are.
Right, and then another book opportunity
to talk about,
a great experience of
a wealth of talent,
how to deal with it.
We have a wealth of talent coming to the show, coming to the stage, being able to give us some information, some advice. But this is something, we got one last topic that I do wanna cover before we get out of this show. There was something, man, that they have been begging us to do and wanting us to do and needing us to do. So we're going to give you a little teaser of it.
You're shaking your head. Prep ball versus semi-pro. That's going to be a show, I promise you. You don't want to miss that one because, is it 13th grade? I'm trying to get to professional ranks.
So it's all about the youth.
It's only entertainment.
Not entertained. Are you not?